reasonable people may be allowed to differ where no one can reasonably be certain. Opposing opinions, even without a decision, provide delightful amusement. And if the subject is unusual and interesting, a book carries us, in a way, into good company and unites the two greatest and purest pleasures of human life, learning and friendship. Happily, these circumstances are all to be found in the subject of natural religion. What truth is so obvious, so certain as the existence of God, which the most ignorant ages have acknowledged, and for which the most refined geniuses have ambitiously endeavored to produce new proofs and arguments? What truth is so important as this one, the ground of all our hopes, the surest foundation of morality, the firmest support of society, and the only principle that ought never to be absent for a moment from our thoughts and meditations? But when we treat this obvious and important truth, what difficult questions arise concerning the nature of that divine being, its attributes, its decrees, its plan of providence? These have always been the subject of dispute among people. Human reason has not reached certainty about them. But these topics are so interesting that we cannot restrain our restless inquiry into them, though nothing but doubt, uncertainty, and contradiction have so far been the result of our most careful research. I had an opportunity to observe this when, as usual, I spent part of the summer with Cleanthes and was present at the conversation he had with Philo and Demea, of which I gave you an imperfect account not long ago. You said then that I aroused your curiosity and that I must provide greater detail about their reasoning and present the various theories they offered concerning such a delicate subject as that of natural religion. Your expectations were raised even more by the great contrast in their characters. You place the accurate philosophical approach of